out there today, as it is a little rainy out there today, but we definitely need the rain. And joining us online, as we were talking about earlier, is Representative Jim Kelly. Mr. Kelly, good morning. How are you doing today, sir?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Like we discussed before we got on, a little cooler day and some much needed moisture coming in.
Absolutely. There's a lot of rain out west, and it looks like some of it's moving this way. Definitely need it, though. It's been a while since we've had a pretty good drink of water here in the SEK, for sure. So got a few items that we do want to discuss today with you. But before we get to those, of course, just recently, a few weeks back, House Bill 2016 got passed. And I just kind of wanted to know some of your thoughts on it, because it seemed like a lot of that bill, with the exception of maybe one section, was pretty much the same as the bill that Governor Kelly vetoed at the end of the regular session.
There were a couple of I would say major differences that were included or modified, and the rest of it was pretty much the same. The major differences kind of revolved around taking some of the sole authority for doing certain things, closing businesses, closing schools, setting up some of the things that took place during the pandemic when it started. Plus, some things around contact tracing changed. Also, some liability coverage for healthcare providers. There was a big change for nursing homes, and then the rest of it remained pretty much the same. And so, probably the things to discuss that were the ones that are a little different is that. In the changes that came about, and it was a negotiated agreement between the governor and legislative leaders from both the House and the Senate, but legislature wanted more, didn't want to have as much state control if we go back into the pandemic, and wanted more county and local control, and so that was negotiated in there. And so now with this, before the emergency order that Governor Kelly issued was extended to September 15th. So between now and September 15th, we are still under an emergency order. And before September 15th, the governor can't close any business or restrict gatherings or travel. Now, a county could or a city could, and depending on local situations, but the governor could not. They could put out guidelines, but not restrictions. Any further disaster declarations after September 15th have to be approved by a group that's called the State Finance Council, that's made up of the legislators, and the governor is on that. The governor can't block or change the timing of elections and how they're conducted. Local control is really kind of a key in this. It allows county commissions to issue orders that are less restrictive than the state. If the state does issue some type of order and it's approved by the State Finance Council, the county could still lessen it. Currently, they can only make it more restrictive. So that is a change, really, of getting it back into where counties will be able to base some of restrictions, if there are any, on their individual county situation and not be, as such, lumped in with all the other counties in the state. Because we know in the pandemic there is a group of counties scattered around the state that had no cases. No positives, but they still had to follow the same guidelines. Also, going forward, if there is going to be a move to close the schools like there was back early in the pandemic, the governor has to require the approval of the Kansas State Board of Education before that can happen. And so that those are all changes versus what was in the first plan. It was more restrictive on the governor in the plan that she vetoed than it is now. So there's those changes. One of the other big changes is that the original bill offered basically COVID immunity for hospitals, medical providers, and nursing homes. And in this bill, the governor was she was totally controlling on this, that for hospitals and medical providers like doctors and all, there would be an immunity for COVID-related expenses. Liabilities. But for nursing homes, it went down and it was a lower level of immunity and more restrictions on what they can do. They have to prove they followed all the CDC guidelines and all the rules. And this was non-negotiable because I think nursing homes in many communities are the only health care providers there, and particularly in small towns, if a nursing home would be shut down because of some liability issues, there would be a real harm to the seniors that were in those facilities. They would have to find someplace else to go. And so I had an amendment to put the liability back to the same level as it is for hospitals and doctors. And I was advised that I better call the governor's office and discuss that. I did, and I was told that if that amendment went on, which I think it would have, she would veto the bill again, and we'd be right back where we were or worse. So anyway, I did not put it on, so there's one piece in there relating to nursing homes and some protection for them, particularly as hard as this pandemic is to screen for in the early stages, that I really did not like. But there was also some restrictions put on contact tracing. I mean, we hear a lot about that contact tracing is key going forward. And in this bill, it says that contact tracing is voluntary. So if they're tracing back all the contacts a person had, and an individual does not want to participate, then they cannot. It's not mandatory. So that's one change that was in this bill that hasn't been in, that wasn't in the first one. So there were things, that people really would like that stayed in, like the restaurants really liked the to-go alcohol portion that was put in for the pandemic, where when you're picking up a curbside meal, you can pick up a sealed beverage from bars and restaurants to go along with the meal. That is continued, I think it is to the end of the year. And also another good change is that on positive COVID cases, that local health care authorities like the county health officer can disclose to 911 systems locations of where there have been people living or areas, buildings, whatever, that have had positive cases, so that the first responders, police, fire, EMS, can be notified not who was positive, but that they are going on a call into a situation where there have been positive cases. So I think that's a real positive for our first responders that have enough issues of not knowing what they're going into when they're called to an emergency scene. I think this will be real positive. So those are kind of the bigger changes, other than another one concerning money, is that the money coming in from the federal government to provide aid to cities and counties and to other units across the state and to the state itself. The spending of that money initially had been pretty much under the governor's control, and this bill puts in some guardrails around it, that anything that's going to be spent also has to be approved by the State Finance Council and another group called the Legislative Coordinating Council. It just depends on what the situation is. So it has to have some approvals as it goes out, just like regular budget items are approved by the legislature. They'll be proposed by the governor and approved by the legislature. This is kind of the same situation. So it was 2 days to get to this, and some real inflexibility in several areas, but I think it did turn out something, and in the early going, it appears to be working okay.
And that's good to hear about that. It's also some good news coming up this Monday, at least for Montgomery County. We are finally phasing out of the phases that we've been going through, that we're finally phasing out beginning Monday, correct?
That's correct. We have on Monday, we go into the phase-out program, and it's really not very restrictive at all. And again, it will be controlled by each county and each city. And I think I heard in your news report, I think it was earlier, the Memorial Building in Coffeyville that...
In Chanute.
Okay, mm-hmm. Some restrictions. Yeah, because they've had a kick up in COVID cases.
Mm-hmm.
And so that can happen. A county can decide to do that. But under gatherings, there aren't the numbers limits. It just says you need to maintain social distance where applicable. Anyone that's sick needs to stay at home. You follow the personal hygiene guidelines, washing hands and all of that. And that's probably going to be with us for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And employers will follow any guidance that's put out. And I think employers will follow that for a long time also. I mean, you go into businesses and you see some of the shields up and you see the hand washing stations and all. I think that will probably continue for a long time. And then as far as travel, starting Monday, it goes to, I say somewhat unrestricted, but we have seen, and I think we'll continue to see as the number of positives kick up, that you saw this week Kansas added to Alabama, Arkansas, and Arizona, to states that if you are coming from there, you need to quarantine. I think those type of things may come about. I mean, our neighboring state of Oklahoma is seeing a pretty good uptick in positive cases. We've got counties around us. Crawford is seeing a huge uptick because of some positives coming out of some packing plants, like one in Missouri and one in Kansas. So, and Arkansas went on that list because they've seen a big uptick. I heard there's like 20, I think it was 26 states now that are seeing the numbers rise. And I don't know that we'll go down. This kind of takes the total lockdown out of the question unless it's put in place by individual counties. But restrictions could come in from the state level on states that, if you've traveled from those, that you need to quarantine yourself. So it's been a long time coming and, delayed, but phase out is coming, and it's very dependent, I think, on people following those social distancing and hygiene guidelines to keep the uptick from coming back. I mean, it's felt that it will, initially it was felt that we would see a real decline in the warm months, and that's not happening. a lot of it's because we're opening back up and more testing, but still there are more positive cases. And then in the fall, or until the time that we see a vaccine, we'll still see upticks. So it's not something I think you can say, okay, that's over. It's back to what we were doing and be in huge crowds and forget about the hand washing and everything else. Or I think it could come back. So it's more on the local level as far as guidelines or restrictions, but I think this will probably hang with us for a while.
I definitely agree with you. Sir, we got about just about a minute left before we get on out of here. And, of course, the campaign season is starting to kick off. Is there anything you would like to say? I mean, to say basically to the people out there who are going to be voting. I mean, it's going to be a little different this year, especially with, of course, the COVID-19 going on. So it's going to be a little trickier this year, probably voting-wise. And just want everybody to be safe out there, correct?
That's correct. I mean, this year, I think there will probably be more advanced voting, mail-in ballots. In Montgomery County, it was announced that you could go into the courthouse and vote before for a period of time before the polls open, and then also you can go to the normal polling places. But I would think there's going to be more mail-in ballots probably and more people that just go to the courthouse where there aren't the crowds. And as far as the election coming up, I mean, I was very honored by the fact that I was not opposed in this election. So I know that I'll have a chance to serve Montgomery County for another 2 years, which I greatly appreciate. And I think that the election itself will be a much different election than I've seen in my lifetime as far as how you're going to vote and the way that we have to watch same as all, particularly in the August primary when you are still in a time when the cases could be going up, where you're going to have to practice the hygiene and the social distancing, and there'll be some real care at the polls. But yeah, it'll be an election. Another thing in the last seconds that we have that would like the 2020 census is underway, and every place, I think all the states are lagging behind in the number of people that should have filed the census form by this time. And I would just like to encourage anyone that hasn't to go out online or call in to give the census information, because this is really important to our state and to our cities and counties as far as funds that will be available to them for the next 10 years and many other things. If our population shows a big loss because people didn't fill out the census, it is very, very detrimental to us for the next 10 years, which is not really very positive when you look at how many things that money helps with as far as schools and everything else. It's important that they do that as well as to vote.
Very, very true. Well, sir, I appreciate you coming on today and talking about all these things. We're out of time right now, but I appreciate you coming on, and we will talk to you again next month, sir.
I will look forward to it, and we'll see what July brings us, and hopefully it is a cooler July and that we have a lot of good things to talk about.
Absolutely. I agree with you on that. You have a great day, sir, and it was a pleasure to talk to you once again.
Very nice to talk to you. Thanks very much, and thanks, everybody, for your support.
All right. Thank you very much. That is Representative Jim Kelly, and we enjoyed talking to him today. We need to go ahead and get to news. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.
For the first time ever, Roman Chevrolet Buick offers 0% interest for 84 months on select Chevys and Buicks.